How do we know that repentance is not necessary to gain everlasting salvation? That great question is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we get to today's discussion, I'd like to tell you about something that we are always really excited about. It's our national conference. It's happening October 26th through October 29th at Cabell Bible Fellowship in Cabell, Texas. We really hope that you can join us, but if you can't, you can also take part by going to faithalone.org, and we will post talks from our conference there. Well, let's get into today's episode with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus, where we want to put the focus on God's grace, where He has promised to save you, to give you everlasting life by faith in Christ, apart from your works. Did you know that? A lot of evangelicals say they believe that, but in practice, they really don't. They'll contradict themselves.
Right,
they actually say
right.
that salvation does depend upon your works. For example, this question from Ian is a great example of this. He says, "Hello, my name is Ian, and I wanted to know why you say repentance isn't necessary for salvation. Since believe means to do what Jesus did, obviously what Jesus did is the way we're supposed to live, and He was perfect, so we should be perfect. So how can you say a drug dealer can ask Jesus to save him in his heart, but then stay a drug dealer? No, he has to repent to be saved." All right, so that's kind of a bunch of different ideas there. But did you notice that Ian says to believe means to do what Jesus did?
That's rather a bizarre definition of believing.
But isn't it common, though? A lot of people say, if you really believe, then you're going to behave. In fact, behaving is the believing. Sometimes you hear this illustration, this wheelbarrow illustration, right? Who was it? Blondell or someone was crossing the Niagara Falls on a tightrope, and he had a wheelbarrow, and then he crossed it successfully, and he says, "Do you think I can bring a person across this wheelbarrow, across the falls?" And people said, "Yes, I believe." And then he went to one of the people who said, "I believe," and said, "All right, get in." And that person said, "No, I'm not going to get in." And that's often used as an illustration to show that you don't really believe unless you get into the wheelbarrow.
Right.
And so you don't really believe unless you actually follow Jesus in your behavior. And that's what seems to be what Ian is saying.
Yeah, maybe. But the point is, to believe is to be convinced. And so when Jesus said, "He who believes in me has everlasting life," he's convinced. When Blondell says, "Do you believe I can take a person across in this barrel?" If this was like the saving message, what you would see is a significant portion of the crowd would suddenly appear on the other side of Niagara Falls.
So explain that to me. Why?
Okay. Let's say there were 1,000 people watching him do this.
Yeah.
And let's say 500 of them were convinced that he could safely take a person across,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, of course, part of the problem with this illustration is Blondell was not perfect, and so someone could die.
Right.
Jesus is perfect, and nobody's going to lose everlasting life that believes in him. But let's just take the illustration and say he's a perfect tightrope walker, and you're convinced.
Yeah.
The moment you're convinced that he can take another man across, you don't need to do anything. If it's like Jesus and everlasting life, the moment you believe, you get the result.
Okay.
So you would instantly appear on the other side of Niagara Falls.
You don't need to
get in any barrel because you automatically get the result.
That's how you would have to change the illustration to accurately reflect the promise of life.
Right.
I get it. So back to Ian's question, that would be why we say repentance isn't necessary for salvation, because salvation is by faith apart from works, apart from our behavior. You don't need to be sinless the way Jesus was sinless.
Right. I mean, if you carry his thinking, it sounds like he's teaching sinless perfection.
Sinless perfection for salvation. That's not just a possibility after you've been saved. That's what you need to do in order to be saved at all.
And by the way, I was raised in a group that taught the sinless perfection. It was a cult, but it taught something similar, but not quite like what Ian is saying.
Yeah, so some people think after you've been born again, you can have the second work of grace where you become sinless in your sanctification. But that's not what Ian is saying. Ian is saying you need to be sinless in order to be saved at all.
Yeah, the group I grew up in taught that you needed to repent of your sins day by day, week by week, to prepare yourself to be born again. And the illustration they would use is they would say, that from here to the ceiling is the separation between us and God.
Right.
And that we start out with this huge barrier of sins that separates us from God. The more sins we turn from, the closer we get to God.
Yeah.
And when we get real close to the ceiling, maybe a few inches from the ceiling, then the group I was in would allow us to come forward at a church service or give our life to Christ, and we'd be born again.
Okay.
And so we'd have very few sins left because we've turned from almost all of them.
Right.
At least all our known ones. And then we would become sinlessly perfect. And if we did sin after we were born again, the group I was in taught you lost your salvation and couldn't get it back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what this guy is teaching, Ian, is a little bit stronger, it sounds like. Sounds like he's saying, you need to eliminate all sin in your life 100% so that you've already reached the ceiling.
Right.
And now God will save you if you're just like Christ.
Right. That'd be super duper work salvation.
It would be.
Usually work salvation goes the other way. People start to fudge on what God requires. Instead of requiring perfection, they start saying, well, you know, if we preach that, no one's going to believe us. So, you need to be better than average. You know, you'd have to do your best, and then you can just confess your faults, your lack to a priest or whoever.
Now, we have to admit, we may not be understanding what Ian's asking.
Yeah.
I doubt he's going that far, but the point of it is that what Jesus promises is he who believes in me has everlasting life. And let's talk about repentance.
Well, yeah.
Okay, why is it he thinks we have to repent? Well, because somehow in his view, which is common, by the way, that somehow our sins separate us from God, right?
Right.
Haven't we all heard that? And so I have to deal with my own sins in order to get right with God. And the problem with that is it misunderstands the atonement. Christ died on the cross for our sins, not just some of them, but all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not just our past sins, but our present and future sins.
Right.
When he died on the cross, he took away the sin of the world, John 1:29. And that means that our sins are no longer a barrier between us and God. And if you think about the gap between here and the ceiling, the point is the cross covers the whole gap. And so the issue is no longer our sins.
In terms of salvation.
In terms of salvation.
Because we still sin every
right.
day and there's consequences.
And there are consequences, right.
Well, I'm thinking about Jesus in the Synoptic Gospels. He goes, he preaches the gospel of the kingdom, and he's calling Israel to repent. Are you saying Israel's sins weren't separating them from God? They weren't an issue?
Nationally, they were. But in terms of being born again, the issue was not anyone's sin separating them from everlasting life. The issue was their lack of faith in Christ separated them from everlasting life.
Well, let's use Ian's example of a drug dealer. So there's a drug dealer, and you tell this drug dealer about John 3:16, and the drug dealer believes.
Then he's born again.
Now, would you call him to repent? Or
sure.
Why would you call him to repent?
First of all, I need to mention the Gospel of John never mentions the word repent, even though it's the evangelistic book. It's the only book written to unbelievers to tell them how to be born again. So that's quite telling. But secondly, the way I understand the scriptures, at the moment of faith, a person is not only born again, but they're in fellowship with God. So the brand new believer does not need to repent. What the brand new believer needs to do is confess his or her sins
mm-hmm.
on an ongoing basis, just like the mature believer needs to confess his or her sins to stay in fellowship with God.
Yeah.
1 John 1:9. Now, if this person is a drug dealer, they come to faith in Christ and they're in fellowship with God. Hopefully, the person that's led them to faith in Christ is going to call them to get involved in a local church
right.
and to start reading the Word of God. To start praying. Hopefully, if they know the person's a drug dealer, they're going to say, you know what, the life you're on is on the path of death. And if you continue this way, you're going to end up in prison or you're going to be dead. And that's not glorifying God. You need to turn from that, but you're already in fellowship with God, but don't continue on that path, because if you do, you're going to get out of fellowship with God. You're going to be a person who, even though you have everlasting life, you're going to experience the calamitous results of your lifestyle.
So there is an appropriate time to call people to repent from their sins. But the fact that you're doing it doesn't mean that's a co-condition with faith to be born again. It's not necessarily
no.
evangelistic. Some people define repentance as a change of mind.
Right.
And they're kind of forced to do that because they believe it's something that you need to do to be saved. But they know that salvation is apart from works. But you need to repent to be saved, so they say to themselves, well, repentance can't involve any works then. It must be a change of mind. But the obvious reply to that is you can call someone to repent without having to say that's a condition of salvation. They might need to repent for other reasons. You don't want to destroy your family.
Right.
You don't want to go to jail. You know, it's appropriate for a pastor to call people to repent in a non-evangelistic context.
Right. The only condition of being born again is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that's the only thing God calls upon people to do. Acts 17:30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. So everyone should be turning from their sinful ways and turning to God, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever. But that's not the condition of everlasting life. That's the condition of, well, Zane Hodges wrote a book called Harmony with God.
Right.
So that's how we have a harmonious relationship with God, is by walking in the light, not walking in the darkness.
Right. And you've written a whole book about this, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. It came out last year, I believe.
Yeah.
I know everyone gets nervous when I start doing this, but I think I'm going to give 10 copies, 10 physical copies, to the first 10 people who write to Radio at Faith Alone requesting a copy of Turn and Live. Make sure to give us your physical address. That offer will be for people living in the U.S. So write to radio@faithalone.org and ask for your free copy of Turn and Live. I'm giving it to the first 10 people who ask. Do you know that we have conferences? COVID has kind of thrown us a little bit of a loop in terms of conferences.
Well, we were supposed to have our conference May 18 through 21, and now it's moved to October 26 through 29.
Right.
So it'll be in Coppell, Texas.
That's our national conference. It's just about 15 minutes away from the DFW airport. We'd really encourage you to come. We're planning on holding it. Only God knows the future. God willing, we're going to have it there. We're also having a regional conference, but check our website, faithalone.org. We're starting to do speaking again. If you want to see us in person or hear us in person, be sure to check out the events page at our website, faithalone.org, as COVID kind of winds down. And I don't know if it is winding down. People say it's going to wind back up again, but God willing, we will be having our speaking more and more.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether or not we need to hold on to eternal life. So don't miss that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus. Thank you.